You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here. Today is the Friday edition of Locked On Vols, heading into the weekend, and there is a lot to talk about with Tennessee's football team. The Vols have a scrimmage coming up on Saturday. We are 1 week away from the Orange and White game coming up April 13th. Here on today's show, you will hear from Jeremy Pruitt talking about the scrimmage. He once again this week sent out a message to fans saying, "We need you at Neyland Stadium. Will it work? How many fans will be there?" That, I think, has become one of the big talking points in the final 2 weeks of spring practice. You'll hear Jeremy Pruitt talking about that coming up here in just a moment. In segment number two, I think a big focus for Tennessee over the last year has been establishing leadership, establishing culture. I think that starts out the conversation, and then finding leaders who can help build that within the program. Jeremy Pruitt talks about how that has come along over the last year plus since he's become Tennessee's head coach. Are there more guys stepping forward this spring? That's coming up in segment number two of Locked On Vols, and I'll catch you up on a number of items in the third segment, including, yes, another honor for Grant Williams. The Final Four is set this weekend, and another note on Jordan Bone, with him now being a player trying to go through the NBA draft process, where things stand for him, one person's opinion on where Jordan ranks among the NBA draft prospects. All of that right here on Locked On Vols today. It's available on the new Himalaya app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and you can tell your smart speaker or smartphone to play podcast. Locked On VOLS. Coming out of the spring game last year, one of the conversations ended up being around the attendance. I actually thought it was a really well-attended game last year. There were more fans at the game than I expected. But afterward, one of the things Jeremy Pruitt talked about is the fans who weren't there. Where were they? Why more fans didn't come to Neyland Stadium? And I think one part of the conversation is, well, it's a spring game. Also, it's televised, so fans don't necessarily have to go to the stadium to watch the game. Last year, Tennessee removed the autograph session with the spring game and moved it to August. So one of the incentives for fans to go, the autograph session, the chance to meet players and coaches, that was taken away, and that's the case this year. And then Tennessee has not been as good recently, and Tennessee coming off a 4-8 season a year ago, now coming off 5-7, I think that plays a part in it as well. But that's a conversation that is being had. It's gotten a lot of chatter on the internet, especially as quotes from Jeremy Pruitt came out this week, with him once again talking about the importance of having fans at the Orange and White game. So I wanted you to hear what Jeremy Pruitt had to say about it. He was asked by Blake Topmeyer of the New Sentinel earlier this week about the nighttime spring game. That's another factor. How it affects things, I guess we'll find out. But the spring game next Saturday will actually be a 6 o'clock kickoff. They've moved to the evening to accommodate the SEC network. So here's what Jeremy Pruitt said when he was asked about a nighttime scrimmage. Has he ever been a part of one? What does he think about it? Listen to Jeremy Pruitt's answer.
No, probably the last nighttime spring game I was involved in was back when I was coaching at Plainview High School. So, but you know, spring's a lot of fun, and I know our players are excited about it. We have lots of competition. You know, we have far more competition this year than we had last spring. We got guys pushing each other every day. It's been a competition every day. So, you know, we've had winners and losers. So whoever who wins, the other team watches them run after practice. So I think our guys have competed hard this spring. I think the other night I thought the scrimmage was really competitive. I thought it was a lot more physical than it was in the past. You know, and I anticipate us improving this week. The next time we go to the stadium, I hope to see us play faster and more physical. You know, and then we've got 12 days to the Orange and White game. And, you know, when you put as many fans in their stadium as will be there, I think that kind of will amp the guys up. And I think it's a great opportunity. You know, there's the best recruiters you have are your players to start with. You know, because they know what goes on day in and day out, and we got really good recruiters on our team. You know, the next thing is just the passion of the fan base, everybody associated with the university. So, you know, with the recruiting period and moving, you know, the signing days up and all that deal, you know, the timetable has moved up in recruiting. So, you know, the more people we have in Neyland, the better selling point it is for our football program, the University of Tennessee. And it's not just football. It's all sports. So everybody takes advantage of the spring game to recruit. That there's going to be lots of things going on that weekend, and I know our players are excited about it. I'm excited about it, you know, and looking forward to it. So we need our stadium full.
So Jeremy Pruitt again was saying that Tennessee needs the stadium full. A few things. One, the idea of promoting the spring game and asking for fans to be there and saying, yeah, we want as many fans as possible. I would say that Jeremy Pruitt should be doing that. Tennessee should be doing that. Tennessee has put out some videos, and they had a Juwan Jennings video the other day where he's talking about his final time at Tennessee and asking fans to come out. And I would say that that is well advised. You want to promote and try to get fans there. I think there are some different approaches Tennessee could take from a marketing standpoint to try to get fans there. But just the simple idea, hey, should we try to do something to get fans to come out? Sure. First of all, the stadium's not going to be full. They're not going to have 100,000 fans at Neyland Stadium next Saturday for the Orange and White game. It's not going to be anywhere close to that. Last year, Tennessee announced an attendance number a little north of 65,000. Tennessee did not have 65,000 fans there, not really close to that number. They had a tremendous crowd. I thought it was a really good crowd. It just wasn't 65,000. It was more than I expected, but not anywhere in the ballpark of 65. So if the conversation is around filling up the stadium, well, it's just an impossibility right now. That's not happening. It's not going to be anywhere close. So that needs to be put aside. I look at this conversation that we've now had over the last couple of years, and I think that there can just be a great overreaction either way. Here's my thought. If you're a fan and you want to go to the game, and you can, go to the game. Have a good time. Right now, we're still more than a week out. Right now, the weather forecast is for it to be a nice day. I'm not sure what it would be in the evening, but the 10-day forecast that I looked at Friday morning has a projection of low 70s and sunny. So if it's a nice day, that would be something that I would think would probably help to get fans to come out. If you don't want to go, if you don't want to make the drive, depending on, you know, where you're listening right now, you might be several hours away, even farther, of course, and becomes even more challenging. But if you don't want to go, stay home. You can watch the game on TV. Tennessee has a deal with ESPN and the SEC Network to help fans be able to watch the team play on television. I don't know how the nighttime thing is going to affect things. It's a 6 p.m. Eastern time kickoff. So if you live several hours away, well, if you drive to the game and you're leaving at nighttime, you're going to be getting home really late. That's something that probably gets factored in. It's one thing if you live in Knoxville or nearby in East Tennessee. It's another thing if you're living in Nashville or west of Nashville or up in Kentucky, down in Georgia and the Carolinas. That affects things. I also think the recruiting aspect can be vastly overrated. I don't think fans are going to get to Neyland Stadium and think, oh man, there's only 45,000 fans here. Oh man, there's only 35 or 48 or whatever it is. And I don't think recruits are going to pay attention to it. And if they, you know, last year Tennessee announces an inflated number that's not true, players still see that though. They're not thinking, you know what? I don't think it was 65,000. I think it was 52,000. They're not thinking that at all. So the inflated number, they might see it and think, hey, that's pretty good. And then they move on. There aren't going to be recruits making their lifetime decisions based on a spring game attendance, I don't think. Now, you can come back and say, well, Alabama has a bigger crowd than Tennessee. Well, Alabama's in a better position as a program than Tennessee right now when it comes to recruiting, and Tennessee's actually won a couple of battles against Alabama. So I just think the recruiting impact of a spring game is wildly overrated at times. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt brings it up, and again, it's a selling point. I don't think that there is going to be any kind of major impact on Tennessee's recruiting. If Tennessee's coaching staff is relying on a spring game attendance for making a major dent on the recruiting trail, well, then you have some other issues. Last year's crowd was good. This year's crowd will probably be just fine. And again, one part of the reality is that Tennessee's not very good right now. And if Tennessee were coming off a 9-3 season as opposed to 5-7, fans would be more excited. Tennessee has not done much during spring practice to let fans know what's going on with the football team. The scrimmages have been completely closed, so highlights of what Tennessee is doing are really limited. Nobody has, from the outside, seen one snap of 11-on-11 football. So Tennessee has not done a lot to market what's going on with the football team itself. And when Tennessee has struggled on the field for not just the last year or two, but overall the last 10-plus years, well, that probably affects things. Also, the one group that I don't think needs to be really questioned in terms of interest and passion and support would be Tennessee fans. I think Tennessee fans have let it be known at this point they're very passionate about what's going on with Tennessee football and other Tennessee sports as well. So I've spent a good amount of time here on this podcast, and we'll talk about it a little bit more next week. But I would still sum up saying, I just don't think it's that big of a deal. I'll be curious to see how much is made of it next week. And if the stadium is half full or less than that next Saturday, does it come up again? But to sum up, if you want to go to the game and you can go to the game, go. If you don't, you want to stay home, watch the game on the SEC Network, or don't even want to do that, it is just a spring game and a scrimmage. Do what you want to with your time. I don't think your support of Tennessee football or Tennessee sports really needs to be questioned. Coming up here on Locked On Vols, maybe more important questions. Tennessee's football team on the field. Are leaders emerging? Are guys more willing to call out their teammates if they need to on the practice field? Jeremy Pruitt talks about that coming up right here on Locked On Vols. Remember, to get this show every day, you can subscribe to Locked On Vols on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Vols. I do think one thing that's occurred this spring compared to last year is that Tennessee has better competition on the practice field. Tennessee is deeper at a number of positions. Tennessee is overall very healthy. They're not at 100%, and some guys are out there on a limited basis. You've had Eric Gray and Tyus Fields, Chris Okporogane as well, three newcomers who have gotten out there in the middle of spring and been able to go through some activity, which has been really good, and a number of other newcomers who are out there. But Tennessee is without Darren Kirkland Jr. His status is still unknown moving forward. J.J. Peterson has been banged up at linebacker. He's been limited at times. Karat Garland on the defensive line has not really been able to go through spring. He's out there doing conditioning and is a few weeks away from being at 100%. Overall, Tennessee is, I think, a very healthy football team. You also have Trey Smith, who's been participating in practice but not in team activity and is not cleared for full contact. I think Jeremy Pruitt likes the level of competition that he's getting from his players and the fact that there is just a greater level of familiarity with the players and the coaches, vice versa. Even though you've had some changes to this coaching staff, Jeremy Pruitt's there, and what Tennessee is doing on the practice field is very similar this year to a year ago. So I think there's just a better understanding of what to do, which probably makes players more comfortable. And veterans, guys who have been through this for a few years, are probably starting to settle in some. That's something that was brought up with Jeremy Pruitt this week, talking about his football team. Is there more leadership that is apparent from the players? Are players more comfortable talking to teammates on the practice field if they're doing things right or wrong? Personally, I think the answer is yes. I think I'm seeing more talking now than I did a year ago. But listen to what Jeremy Pruitt said, talking about players and leadership and if guys are emerging.
Well, I think that, you know, we're headed in that direction. You know, when you get committed to something and you believe in something, and let me tell you, our senior class, and we have a small class, a small senior class, but I think it's a good class. Marquez Callaway, Juwan Jennings, Brandon Johnson, Tyler Bird, Dom Woods Anderson, Nigel Warrior, Emmett Gooden, Daryl Taylor, Daniel Batuli, Baylen Buchanan, Riley Lovingood. All right, that's it. That's the guys, you know, Carlin Filmzane. So, you know, it's a small group, but I think it's a group that has put a lot into the University of Tennessee. I think they've represented the University of Tennessee very well. They're guys that will graduate from here. I think they're hungry. They've worked really hard in the last 18 months, and they've continued to do that. So I know these guys are excited about every opportunity that they have to go practice, and you can see it in the way they practice and the way they prepare.
So things are improving, and I think that's all you can really ask. There's not going to be any kind of overnight success story of just everything that Jeremy Pruitt wants from a culture standpoint when he's still trying to build the roster at the same time, and building the roster means turning over the roster in some ways. Those names that he ran through, the seniors, those are the guys that I jotted down first when I was thinking of, okay, who would Jeremy Pruitt maybe see in kind of a leadership role? I think Jerry Garantano is in that conversation as well. He's met with the media twice this spring. He is the quarterback. He is the quarterback now. He's not just battling for a starting quarterback position. He is the number one guy, and that's a factor. And he's also in his fourth year, so he redshirted a year. Garantano is entering his fourth year in the program, like Marquez Callaway is, like Daniel Batuli is, like Nigel Warrior is. So those guys that are older, those are the players that Tennessee is going to count on. If you think about the defensive line, it's a position group that has a lot of unknown and a lot of inexperience. It does have Emmett Gooden as a senior, and that's a player that's named by Jeremy Pruitt. He is right. It's still not a large senior class. It's bigger than a year ago. Last year was really small in terms of the number of seniors that Tennessee was counting on, and that was probably a negative for Tennessee. So when you look at the players that Tennessee will hope emerge in a leadership position, the names are probably going to be pretty obvious, and it's not an incredibly long list, but it's growing, I think. And I think Trey Smith is in that kind of position. Even if he can't play football this year, I think he is a guy that has helped establish what the culture is or needs to be at Tennessee. I think it's getting better. Ultimately, Tennessee needs to win football games. And if Tennessee's not winning games, if Tennessee's not improving its play on the field, it's difficult to get the culture where you want it to be, because at some point, players and just people within the program start to question, what are we doing here? Jeremy Pruitt knows that Tennessee needs to win games. Jim Chaney knows that Tennessee needs to win games. That's why he described the current time as his honeymoon period. He's coached at Tennessee before. He coached on a staff that was fired at Tennessee before. Jeremy Pruitt coached at Alabama, where the stakes were as high as they get in college football. He understands that winning is important, and that's ultimately what's going to decide whether the culture, that word's used a lot, but it does apply, I think, overall to what Tennessee's trying to do, if that's where they want it to be. And these players right now, even though they have a short amount of time remaining at Tennessee, they will help establish it. If Tennessee's able to go win seven or more games this season, if Tennessee goes 7-5, that's not a great season by Tennessee standards. It's much better than the last couple of seasons, right? And I think it would leave behind a more positive feeling about where the program is for the next group, and next year's senior group should be even larger. And then you get back to what a normal class looks like each and every year. That's what Tennessee's hoping to do. So Daryl Taylor coming back for his senior year, Daniel Batuli, Nigel Warrior, Emmett Gooden, those guys on defense need to help lead the way and set up a path for next year, us to be talking about Alante Taylor and Bryce Thompson helping lead the way for Tennessee. And those young players, those newcomers who are probably going to play a good amount as freshmen, feeling much more comfortable stepping up and emerging and talking on the practice field as sophomores and juniors, and again, some seniors heading into next year. You have an offensive line that has a lot of guys that have played but still have multiple years of eligibility remaining as well. Brandon Kennedy on the offensive line is probably somebody that Jeremy Pruitt hopes can be a leader for Tennessee as well. Jerry Garantano next year projected as a senior. Long way to go in establishing, again, the, quote, culture, but Jeremy Pruitt does seem happy with the progress that Tennessee has made overall in that regard. Coming up in the final segment of Locked On Vols, what one person who covers the NBA draft says about Jordan Bonestock, where he ranks among the top 100 players in the draft class for 2019. I'll get to that coming up next. Another honor for Grant Williams handed out on Thursday. It's a daily occurrence at this point. And the Final Four is set this weekend. I'll get to that coming up right here on Locked On Vols, your team every day. And remember to send in questions or comments for the show. I'm on Twitter at Josh_Ward, as well as Facebook. I have the Facebook page set up, facebook.com/Josh Ward. Feel free to follow and like those pages if you would like to, and send me any questions or comments for the show anytime. I'll work them in right here on Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I looked at Sam Vecenie's updated top 100 big board for the NBA draft on Thursday. He posted that at theathletic.com, and it is just one person's opinion, but I think Sam does a good job for The Athletic covering college basketball and the NBA as players project at the next level. And Jordan Bone was not in the top 100 released by Sam. He did say on Wednesday that he thought Jordan was making the right decision to at least keep his options open with the idea that he could return to Tennessee. And as I said yesterday, and I still think it's the case, Jordan Bone is all in. He said that, actually. Those were his words to Evan Daniels of 247 Sports. But I think Jordan Bone is committed to playing professional basketball next season. But he does know that there is the option to return to Tennessee, and he is at least keeping that door open right now. The fact that Sam Vecenie has Jordan Bone outside his top 100, I think at least clearly shows that Jordan has some work to do to improve his draft stock. That is one reason you go through the draft process, and that should help Jordan. I think he is absolutely going to impress with his athleticism, the speed that he has in the court, the quick burst that he has, his passing ability, his ability to make plays, and score when needed. He's not a great shooter, or at least has not shown to be that at Tennessee. That's something that will need work, and I think NBA teams are going to see that. For a couple of reference points, Sam Vecenie with his top 100, he has Jared Harper from Auburn at number 97 and Tremont Waters from LSU at number 99. Some people might say they'd take Bone over one or two of those guys. Others would agree with those rankings and say, yeah, I'd have Harper and Waters ahead of Jordan Bone. And those guys are at the very back end of his draft rankings. So Jordan, he'll have a size advantage. That's something that would help there. But Jordan's not an incredibly big point guard. I think he can be a good defender. That's something that would help as well. But again, looking at a top 100, just one person's opinion, but Jordan Bone not being a part of it, that at least shows Jordan has some work to do through the draft process to improve his stock. And again, he is committed to doing that. Jordan is hoping to be drafted in the NBA. He has the May 29th deadline to come back if he doesn't want to go through the draft process. And if he goes undrafted and he has maintained his ability to be an amateur, he could return to Tennessee. We're just a long way away from him deciding to do that. By the way, Grant Williams was ranked number 22 on Vecenie's big board, so he does have Grant in the top 25 players or so in the draft. He has also had Grant firmly, I'd say, in the first round in his several mock drafts that he's put out. So Grant Williams, number 22. Admiral Schofield is number 33 in Sam Vecenie's ranking. I think Admiral has a good chance to be a top 40 pick. He could make a run at being a first-round pick in the draft. Grant, of course, has a good chance to be a first-rounder coming up in just a couple of months. Speaking of Grant, he was named a first-team All-American by CBSSports.com on Thursday. It's an honor that he's received by a number of publications, including the Associated Press. He's a unanimous first-team All-American. You can add CBS Sports to the list of outlets naming Grant an All-American. And at this point, who's arguing against that? Grant was one of the best players in the country. I don't think he's going to be the National Player of the Year. I think that's going to be Zion Williamson. But if not for Zion and everything he did this past season, then I think Grant Williams would have a really good chance to be named the National Player of the Year. I think he's one of the top two to three guys in that conversation. And the Final Four is coming up this weekend. The first game on CBS on Saturday evening will be at 6:09, Virginia versus Auburn. And then the game to follow that in Minneapolis is where they're playing, is Michigan State versus Texas Tech. I do wonder, will Tennessee fans be pulling for? Will some be pulling against Bruce Pearl? Some might say, I don't care, it's not Tennessee, so not too worried about it. But we'll see what happens. Bruce Pearl trying to get to the national championship game for Auburn, which is really something to think about considering where Auburn was in the middle of the regular season. But your first game on Saturday evening, 6:09 tip-off, Auburn and Virginia, and then Texas Tech versus Michigan State to follow. Michigan State is a 2.5-point favorite over the Red Raiders. Virginia is a 5-point favorite over Bruce Pearl's Auburn Tigers. Thanks so much for hanging out here on Locked On Vols today. Coming up next week, some reaction from the scrimmage, which will be closed on Saturday, but we'll get some word in what happens. And I'd say Tennessee coaches are hoping more players on the offensive side are able to make plays, and then the defensive coaches want the same. And then we'll have the conversation we have every time of, well, it is Tennessee versus Tennessee. What does it mean? Remember to download, subscribe, rate, and review. Locked On Vols is here 5 days a week covering what's going on with Tennessee. Keep spreading the word. Tell anybody you think that might be interested about the Daily Tennessee Podcast. My name's Josh Ward. I appreciate you hanging out. Enjoy your weekend, and I'll see you right here on Monday.